He'd say, "Hey, it's a very nice suit you just come here." Okay, first mission, he did the second part. Ha'ish mekadesh bo u'shlocho. So he can do kedushin by himself with Urshliya. Ha'ish mekadesh bo u'shlocho, same for her. Ha'ish mekadesh bitokashi nara bo u'shlocho. And he can also marry off his daughter when she's in nara. But again, with a shliach, I'm not going to get into it right now, but you realize there's three stages in a young girl's growth to adulthood. Right? There's ketana, na'ara, and bogeret. Okay, a father cannot marry off his daughter once she is a bogeret. Right? Then she is totally in her own jurisdiction. But while she's a na'ara, she still can. And Rashi points out, if you look at Rashi, kishi na'ara, kol shekein kishi ketana. Right? And na'ara, to some degree, she's an adult. So if the father still has rights to marry off while she's na'ara, all the more so he has rights when she is a katana. Okay, let's go to Gemara right away. Hasta b'shulcho mekadesh bo mibar. Someone says, well, obviously, anything you could do through a shliach, you could obviously do yourself, so the first case is superfluous. Why did it say bo u'b'shulcho? Amar Rabbi Yosef, mitzvah bo yotemu b'shulcho. So why did it say bo? What's the answer? Answer one on the board? According to Rabbi Yosef, bo, because that's preferable, right? Bo we prefer, you can't do bo, you do shulcho. Now at this point, the Gemara of Yosef is getting that from the Reisha. Bo u'b'shulcho, bo is better, but you could also do shulcho. Where do we see this principle, mitzvah bo yitem u'shulcho? Kedra of Safra, machrich Reisha, he would be involved in singeing the head. Which mitzvah are we dealing with over here? Kavachav, this is going to be important. Like, is there a reason why the Gemara picks a specific mitzvah? Could we just as easily have picked preparing the lulav? Or is there a reason why it's preparing for Shabbos? We'll see in a second, but we'll see later this week, I think there's a reason why it's Shabbos. Rava Malach Shibuta, Rava would salt the fish. So what do you see? They could have said, servant boy do it, or my child do it, or my wife do it, but they did it themselves. That shows mitzvah bo, yoter, mi b'shulcho. There's an idea of being personally involved in the mitzvah. Okay, that is point one, theory one in the Mishnah. It's theory two. Ikadamri, baha, in this matter, isura nami yidba. Now there'd be an iser. Kadihuda marav, demiyuda marav, asur ladam shekadesh isha chirana. Shem your Eba Davar Maguna. Maybe you'll see you won't like her. Vititkanela, Vrachmanama, Vahaftarech Kamokha. Very interesting. Right, it would be a lack of Vahaftarech Kamokha, not love your spouse. Here it is. Like, that's what. Somebody asks you a lachic question. How do you know you're supposed to love your spouse? That's Vahaftarech Kamokha. Right, it's part of leading a life where you get along with people well. Right, and therefore, what do you say, Pshat now? What's Bo Rishulcho? Not because Mitzvah Bo Yotim Rishulcho. Why does it say Bo? Because Shulcho is actually Asur, it's a halachic problem. That's why, now realize one thing, it still works, right? The Mishnah does say, bo shulcho. There isn't a suggestion that when your shliach is mekadesh you, the kedusha is not chal, right? The kedusha is chal, but you're not supposed to do that. It's asur. So that's bo. But now Rav Yosef can't make a diak anymore. There's no diak, Rav Yosef is not dealing in the realm of isur. It's just, no, it's nicer to do it yourself. So what's Rav Yosef? The chiyem ad Rav Yosef has safe in my Yisrael at the second case. Ha'isha mekadesh bo b'shulcha. Hashta b'shulcha mekacha b'ami by the same kasha. Who needs her? She can make a shliach. And Rav Yosef, mitzvah ba yotem b'shulcha. Ked Rav Safra ma'achreich shabalach melech shibuta. Now, as obvious question to be asked, which the Gemara asks. Right, the same way we said, he has to see her, and therefore you don't get to Rav Yosef because there's an iser. Why didn't you say the same thing about the second case? She has to see him. So the Gemara says, no, aval baha, in this case, isur lepa. Ked Rav Shlakish. Famous quote, Dhamma Shlakish, Tav Lamaitav Tandu Lamaitav Armlu. Okay, what does that mean literally? Tav Lamaitav Tandu?
Like that.
Better to sit with like two bodies, Lamaitav Armlu, from to sit alone, which is a way of saying that women would very much like to get married. I think with all the change inside the last 2,000 years, I think one can still say that women feel stronger urge to get married than men. Okay, so here, the Gemara already is putting it into words here, and therefore we're less concerned of Shema. Tidganeh, right? About the husband, we're more concerned, Shem Tidganeh. So there, there's an Isser, he has to see her first. Regarding the woman, we're less concerned, she says no Isser. So then, now we have, according to the second Mishnah of the Mitzvah, Bo B'Shulcho because of, it's Aser B'Shulcho, Ba B'Shulcho because, Rav Yosef, Mitzvah Ba Yoter, Mi B'Shulcho. Everyone go with the Gemara, any questions? What goes so far? Now obviously, realize one thing, even in the Reisha, there'd be a case where there'd be no Isser. What would be a case where it wouldn't be awesome to do through a shliach?
You did see already.
I mean, the fact you're using a shliach doesn't prove you never saw before. Like, what if it's like us? Like, you date for a couple months first. So then, obviously, it would not be awesome to then be mekadesh through a shliach. So it's not that it's always awesome b'shlucho. Only when you didn't see it. Okay. Now let's deal with an important, there's an interesting language point here. Or style point. There are a few cases in the Mishnah where the Mishnah says the following But the Gemara says it's Lozu Afsu. What does this formulation mean, Lozu Afsu?
No, that
would mean if you have A and B in the Mishnah, sometimes the real Kiddush, the bigger Kiddush, is going to be B. So what's the formulation? You're building up. You could do A, you could even do B. Now once you have that, if you apply the Lozu Afsu formula, in theory, all the Diukim of our Gemara fall away. Well, how's the Mishnah working? It's true that Shlucho is a bigger Kiddush than Bo. But just plug in, it's the Lozu Afsu style. Okay, that's easy. And even more, Bishlucho. So let's look at the three approaches to this. And I think the last two, I think, are particularly significant. Okay, who to take it away? Tav Tosfos. Heish Mekadesh. Heish Mekadesh.
Hashtu Bishlucho Mekadesh Bo Yibayev. Vein Shayech Vetereit Hacha Lav Davka. Let's have a more. Lozu Avzu. Tadok Shayech Lashinuye Hachi. Hello Bish.
Okay, it's a difficult Tosfos. What does Tosfos want to say? That the Lozu Afsu form is a stylistic limitation. When can you say it?
You could say it with phrases, but not with letters, but not with individual words.
Very good. Because sometimes the way the Mishnah is A and B, B is separate as a totally separate case, like a whole separate sentence. Let's say it said Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo, then it said Ha'ish Mekadesh Bishlucho. Then you could say the style is Lozu Afsu. Here it's all one sentence with different components. Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Bishlucho. Then we don't say Lozu Afsu. I have to admit, Misvar, it's hard to understand why linguistically this should be true. Like, why is Lozu Afsu any more convincing based on whether it's Shtei Teres and Shtei Bavos? I think there's two issues with Tosfos. One I'm not going to get into. One is it's not even clear that it's correct in Shas. If you look at the Achronim on this Tosfos, some of them raised. There are other cases where we do seem to apply Lozu Afsu even though it's Shtei Teres. So I think there's a dual difficulty with this Tosfos. One difficulty is like, what's the Svara that explains the distinction? And the other difficulty is it even true if you check through Shas and do a search for Lozu Afsu, is it even true? Okay, those of you who are really curious, I'm not going to follow this through, but you see that there's a Gilin HaShas reference there? Want to see that? Rabbi Kivega, remember that symbol?
Yeah.
See, he quotes the Be'er Sheva and Horios. The Be'er Sheva and Horios deals with this. If anyone's really curious, I'll bring in my Be'er Sheva. Okay, the Be'er deals with this. Can you really maintain this Tosfos across Shas, that this is the rule for when we say Lozu Afsu? So for our purpose now, I'm going to leave the Tosfos as a difficulty. Again, a dual difficulty. What's the Svara? And is it true in Shas? Let us go to two other ends, which I think are a little bit more easy to deal with. Let's go to the Ritva. Take away Yehuda. On the first sheet, on Zman Kayetz Amud 1. As the year progresses, I'll perfect this page number thing. I'll actually have it on the bottom in the footer. Okay, Yehuda, take it away. Let's see what the Ritva says. He has a very good answer. He has a lot of implications. Ah, so it wasn't really a crisis. We had the Lozu Afsu answer ready to go. We could deal with this Mishnah why it says Bo Uvishlucho. So why did we go in a different direction?
I think
Griffith has a very important principle. What's he laying down here, Yehuda? What's he saying?
That if you could say something else, we'll say that
certain things in excellent. Certain things in life are reasonable answers, but they're last resort answers. Like, we prefer not to say it, but when we have no other answer, we'll say it. So I think this might point to a bigger distinction here, guys. Often in the world of learning, you have the following question, like, does every wording have to have meaning, or could it just be a stylistic formulation? I'll give you another example. It's not the same thing, but it's similar. It's famous machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael, by the way. Every time the Torah says doubling of the verb, you know this machlokas? Like it says, im himatzei ti matzei biyadoha gnevai. You guys know this? Very important machlokas, actually. So what does Rabbi Kiva say? Anyone know? If it says himatzei ti matzei, that must be because there's something you're supposed to derive from the extra verb. There's a concrete halacha we're taught by himatzei ti matzei. What does Rabbi Yishmael say? No, dibra Torah kloshom b'ni adam, right? That's the style, right? Not everything has to have deep halachic significance. Sometimes you double it, right? That's the way people talk, and that's the way Chumash style works. So here, I think you have an interesting question. In a sense, you have something similar here. But if you have two cases, do you have to find a din we're being taught from? We have to be taught something by Bo and taught something from Shlucho. Or if you say, it seems to me Lozu Afsu is a stylistic point. No, there aren't two chidushim here. We're just kind of building up to, that's the way we phrase it. So it seems to me the Ritva, and I think this you see this in other sources also, I think in Chazal you have a preference for words conveying something, right? A preference like this. It's not that the assumption is there's no stylistic issues in Gemara and Mishnah, but we'll only bring them in when that's like, it's not the first resort. The first place to look is there something we can be taught from this? Oh, there's nothing we can be taught. Maybe it's purely stylistics. I think the ritual works out very nicely. Bo, Shlofo, sure, we can take the stylistic approach. Bo doesn't teach you anything. It's just building up to Shlofo. We've got the Lozu Apsu. We're not ideologically opposed to saying Lozu Apsu, but that's not our first resort. Could Bo teach you something? Rav Yosef or Reish Lakesh, he could teach you something. So we don't even get to Lozu Apsu. So I think the Ritva, again, I think has broader implications. You look for readings of content first. If you can't find a reading of content, then you could say something more stylistic. You go to the answer of Lozu Apsu. Everyone good with that? We're okay? But again, as I said, I think this Ritva has broader implications in terms of what kind of readings we prefer in Chazal. Yeah, you're good?
I think so.
You think so? You're not sure?
No.
Okay. Let us see the Pinyin Shul. One more answer. Go to the Pinyin Shul. Yeah, you're doing a great job here.
Thank you. Tosfot b'diva makhil hashta b'shlucha mikadesh b'chulei. Ein shayach l'teretz lozu avzu b'chulei. Ad kala shengo. V'lulei d'vrayam. Ha'nirli d'hai b'mash ninan v'alma lozu avzu haynu sheish miha shum chidush hadin d'vava d'risha. Does that show lozu bilvad yish chidush hadin? Ella af gudola mizo. Mashe ein kein hacha. Demai shemikadish batzmo mikra.
Mikra moli. Phrase that goes together. What's like mikra moli? What's the way of saying? It's a clear pasuk. Yeah, it's a clear pasuk. It's a straightforward pasuk.
Kikach isha.
I like this answer very much also. Pnei Yeshua says, wait, you have to differentiate between two questions. I could say that Bo is superfluous for one of two reasons. What are the two reasons I could say Bo is superfluous? Hayish Makadish Bo. You could jump up and say, that's superfluous. Why? So one possibility, no, forget Svara.
Because you're
Okay, very good. So that's what the Gemara says, right? Right, if it says Shlucho, right, do you even need Bo Mi Baya? Right, that's one possible kasha. So then you're not saying that A is pshita per se, but in light of B, there's no longer any need to say A. Right, that's one kind of kasha. You don't need Bo, because if you shlucho assumes you could do it yourself. However, the Pnei points out there's another reason why Bo is superfluous, which is?
Because
it's a pasuk in the Torah. Kikach ish isha. Right, you mean to tell me you can get married? Of course you can get married. Read the Torah. Kikach ish isha. Of course you can get married by yourself. Now, what does the Pnei Yeshua argue? Which kind of answer does Lozu Apsu, which kind of question does Lozu Apsu address? Lozu Apsu only addresses when Bo is a Chiddush, but the problem is Shlucho rendered Bo unnecessary. That's when the Lozu Apsu structure comes in to say, it's true, we didn't really need Bo, but we're building up slowly. Bo is one level of Chiddush, and Shlucho is even pushing the Chiddush even further. That's when you can say Lozu Apsu. Lozu Apsu is the answer to that question. It's not an answer to the question. You don't need the case altogether. Right? What's bothering them, according to the Pnei Yeshua, there's a deeper question lurking here. Right? It's not clear in the Gemara this is true, but what's bothering me is not just that it says Shlucho. What's bothering me is I don't even need Bo. If it didn't say Shlucho, I'd ask Akasha. Hayish Makadish Bo, the Gemara should say. Hayish Makadish Bo, read Dvarim Chavkber or Chavdalit. It's explicit. Kikach Ish Isha. So that's what's bothering me. That kind of kasha cannot be answered by Lozu Apsu. So let me just sum up the answer. Again, I realize this is a stylistic point, but I think stylistic point with ramifications. The Gemara could have said Lozu Apsu, but it doesn't. Why not? Tosfos says this difficult distinction, two words versus two cases. Unclear what the smart for that is. Says the Ritva, Lozu Apsu is a great answer, but it's a last resort answer. We look for answers that have halakha content first. If we can't find halakha content, we'll say it's purely stylistic, Lozu Apsu. Comes along the Pnei Yeshua and says, wait, you have to differentiate between two kinds of questions. One question is, Bo has a Chiddush, but Shlucho is a bigger Chiddush, so we don't need Bo. Then you could say Lozu Apsu. But Bo is a problem per se, it's simply obvious, it's a pasuk. That has nothing to do with Lozu Apsu. We wouldn't quote a pasuk unless we were trying to teach you something. So Bo must teach you something here. Meaning the difference between the Pnei Yeshua and the Ritva is, it's an interesting difference if you think about it. According to Ritva, we had Lozu Apsu in our pockets. We were ready to whip it out if we need it. But lo and behold, we don't need it. According to Pnei Yeshua, we couldn't have used Lozu Apsu here. Right, because it's not only a problem because of this B. A itself makes no sense. A itself is too obvious. And therefore, we're forced into something like Rav Yosef. It's to teach me mitzvah bo. It has to be a chiddush, exactly. Right, because the problem is not just that B renders A superfluous. The problem is that A itself is too obvious because it's explicit pasuk. That's not the kind of question. Again, according to the Pnei Yeshua, lo zu afsu is only when A taught me something, but B takes the teaching even further, so I didn't really need A. Then we say, lo zu afsu, you know, we're just slowly building up the chiddush. It makes sense? Teach you a little chiddush that we build up to the big chiddush. But when A had no chiddush whatsoever, lo zu afsu doesn't solve the problem. Why teach me something that's a pasuk? That must be some other din, and that's what either Rav Yosef or this Asur Adam Shikadish Isha at Yiran. Okay, everyone got the lo zu afsu topic down? We're good? Okay, great. Let us move on. Now, I'm tempted to temporarily skip Tavamaitiv and deal with the major sugya today. You guys be okay if I did that? Take it easy. You okay?
I'm shut the window.
Maybe that.
Or take down the whiteboard. It's here.
Okay.
It's less than like falling.
Yeah, like me too.
Whoa, what's...
Whoa. I think I was more scared by you guys crawling out than by the thing fitting me in the head. Okay, here we go. It's okay. It was just your concern. I appreciate
it. Put
it like that. Don't feel bad. It did not hurt in the slightest. Luckily, it's a thin whiteboard. Maybe he was telling me I shouldn't skip the Tablamitav topic. All right, so we won't skip it. Okay. Okay, so let's sneak in one more Gemara, actually. Because one more small topic. And the main topic here, of course, is which mitzvah you were dealing here. If you say mitzvah b'yitav u'shulcho, you have to be engaged in an act of mitzvah. Right? There's no mitzvah b'yitav u'shulcho without, I don't know, you know, eating cookies, right? There has to be some mitzvah you're doing to say mitzvah b'yitav u'shulcho. So the truth is, eating cookies is a bad example, actually, because we're going to see in the world of Shlichos, it's going to be a huge topic here. Yeah, I'll just give you a little heads up. There's a famous Tosus Harid in the Ketos that it doesn't apply to what's called mitzvah shebegufo. Like, you can't make a shliach to put on tefillin for you, to sit in a sukkah for you. Okay, well, this is a very, very lumdish topic we'll have to discuss as we get to Shlichos, but let's leave that aside for now. Okay. Hayish Makadish is Bito Kishinara. So the Gemara makes the diak. Kishinara in. Why does it say Nara? Apparently you can't do it when you're Ketana. Mesele Rav, it supports Rav. Demar Yudam Rav, Vitim Relazer, Asru Ladam Shikadesh Yibiduk Shiktana, Achetikadel V'tom Eplom Nirotza. Right, so this is quite interesting. Like, on the one hand, the Torah does give a right to the father to marry for Ketana. Rav seemed to argue it was a bad idea. Right, and that's already implicit in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is focusing on Nara because we don't really want you to engage in Kiddushei Ketana. That is quite reasonable. Of course, there's an obvious question. The previous Gemara said, what are we afraid of? She's going to grow up and say, why did you pick this lousy husband for me? But the previous Gemara said, Tav lemeitiv tandu. It violently makes it sound like we assume women will make do with whoever they marry. So what's going on? What are we nervous about all of a sudden? Okay, so let's go to Tosro. Asur, second Tosro. Yehuda, you're doing a great job. We'll stick with you.
Thank you. Asur adam shikadesh epitoka shikatanat. The Afal Gav, the Amar Le'el, the Isur Lecha, Mishum, the Tav, the Mitav Tando, Hanimile Bigdola, Shihi Mikadeshet Aide Atma, the Kivine, Shinitratit, Lecha Lemichash, Shema.
So it turns out it's a little bit deeper. It's not just that we assume that women are happy no matter who they marry. There's another argument here. Why do we assume that the Gdola is going
to
be okay?
She
made the decision, right? You can an adult is important to realize, right? Even though in the Torah you can divorce a woman without her consent, right? There's no such thing as marrying an adult woman without her consent. There's no model like that in halacha, right? She has to agree, right? So once she has to agree, so there's greater reason to apply. I mean, tav lemeitiv is also built upon the fact that she made a decision to marry this fellow. It's not just we'll assume women are happy about who they marry, no matter no other factors are involved. When, I would say differently, when a woman decides to marry somebody, then she will make do with who the guy is. But, Aval,
Ketana, Shinit Kadeshet, Ayedei Aviha, Ikel Amecha, Shema Im Hayita Gedola, Lo Hayita Mitra.
There it is. See, Tav Lemeitiv can't work there. Because again, Tav Lemeitiv was built on her making a decision. Ketana never made such a decision, so we can't assume, we can't plug in Tav Lemeitiv, so that's a very easy distinction. Okay, go ahead. Not because they're historically fascinating by Tosos. Okay, so I made this point earlier this year. Like, it's fascinating. Like, it goes in the opposite direction of what you think. As history got along, Jews were less likely to marry if their daughter was a Ketana. So you see the opposite. Like, Bisman Chazal, they were against it. But the Mishum showed him, they started doing it again. So what do you see? Go ahead.
Hainu Mishum. Mishum shekol yom v'yom hagalut mitkaber alayna. V'im yesh sipek v'yad adam akshav latid alamito nidunia shem l'acher shem l'ach l'achar zman.
Fascinating. So different from our world here. Right, you know, you have a chance, you have a good guy, your daughter's 11, and you have enough money to get it going. Right, you gotta seize the opportunity. Like, you're like, no guarantee that this will be true for the next 15 years, for the next 30 years. It's fascinating. Now, again, if it's, we'll discuss this more later this week, if it's really usher, it's interesting this could overcome that. Not to forget, is it really usher? Right, think, right, ever see that? What did the Gemara say, the word the Gemara? Asur ladam. What does Tosha say? Well, it's difficult. Right, well, how does that overcome a concrete isur? Okay, we'll discuss this. Go ahead. Betesha bito?
Oh, betesha bito.
Now, one thing to realize here, of course, this is not the aguna the way we use the word aguna. What does aguna mean here? She'll be a spinster. She'll be unmarried.
Right.
But obviously, we use the word aguna, unfortunately, in the case usually of a recalcitrant husband, or in case the husband lost at sea. Right, but here, of course, the word aguna simply means a woman who can't remarry. Yeah. Can't marry, excuse me.
Also, actually, the Mishnah implies that it could be okay.
Okay, very good. So even in Rashi, very good. So just let's read the Rashi. Actually, some Achronim make the same deal in Rashi that the Yehuda just made. But I mentioned the same before. Just if you, the rest of you should hear this also. That when the Rambam quotes Asur, he says Ein Ra'uy. So it sounds in the Rambam that this is not a formal prohibition like cooking on Shabbos, but Chazal thought it was a bad idea. But that makes it a lot easier, right? Given duress, you might not overcome an Isser, but given duress, you might do something that you otherwise think is a lousy idea, right? That might make a lot of sense. We think it's a bad idea to marry your daughter when she's a katana. It's not a good thing to do in life. But it's just Ein Ra'uy. It's not a formal isser. All right, given circumstances, unfortunately, sometimes you have to choose the Ein Ra'uy choice, right? So again, if you hold like the Rambam, that would be very good. If it's really just Ein Ra'uy and not a sur, Yehuda's right. If you look at the Rashi and the Mishnah, what does he say there in the second Rashi? Kishinara, v'koshken kishiktan, and kibla kadushim kudeshet. Again, what's Orach Ara literally? Derech Eretz, you could say, you could make a similar deal. It's really not a smart thing to do, right? It's not a wise thing to do, not a prudent thing to do to marry your daughter when she's a katana, but it's not ultimately prohibited to do so. Yeah, you know.
Well, how could the Shonim interpret a sword to being, it's not so good?
What would justify the Rambam doing
that?
I think the answer might be as follows. That's very interesting. So here's my, I have a suggestion, but I don't know if this is the answer. Put it this way. Let's say we take Isser seriously for a second. What kind of Isser would it be?
Durban.
Happy Durban, right? Because the Torah actually gives the father permission to marry off his daughter, right? So the issue, I haven't answered your question, I understand. So I'm just throwing a svar out there. I can't remember where I saw the svar. I think someone once said that the Rabbanan can't create an Isser if something is explicitly allowed by Torah. Have you heard that idea? The Torah says you can do X, we're not going to Isser it. We can recommend against it. You know what? I have a good example of this, which I could challenge whether I said it's true or not. Is there a formal prohibition on doing Yibum today, or just we don't do it? If the Rabbanan actually make a formal takana, that would be against what I'm trying to suggest.
Takana Rabban Gershon, isn't it?
No.
It's
right in the Gemara, they're nervous about doing Yibum.
The Sfardim Lechatchila do it.
Right, so the Sfardim later in Jewish history started to. In fact, there was actually a debate when the state started. I think Rabbi Sefer was upset that you weren't allowed to do Yibum. The Gemara is actually very interesting. You guys know, you guys know why the Gemara says it's actually quite interesting. But the Gemara is nervous that you'll have the wrong kavanah with Yibum. Because what could it be? Like, imagine a guy who's not such a great guy. Like, you always thought that his system was quite pretty, right? So you don't want to like start the thinking process. You know, if only my brother would die, then I get to marry my. That's not a context in which we want Yibum to.
But when are we concerned
to
about
occur?
Kavanas? I mean, like, okay, so his kavanah when he marries her isn't l'shem shamayim, but he didn't kill his brother.
Correct, but I think there's something sensitive about Yibum to begin with, because it's a very unusual situation which you have something that would it not be Yibum would be Arias.
Right.
So it could be like, given the context there, it has to be done the right way to be, that's just the throughout there. But
no, I mean, it's a logical Samara. I just wonder, like,
right.
where would you get such a Samara?
Right,
so
yeah, we'd have to look up that Kamara.
We'd
have to look at Kamara, like, why we care about pure Kamara there more than in other contexts.
Right.
We had this debate before, and you took exactly the same position, I remember. And I was really, like, I'll tell you, like, but he's going to marry his sister.
Yeah, but, I mean...
So what?
It's quite an extreme thing.
No, right. I mean, like, when a woman marries, when a man marries a woman in general, his kavana might not be so l'shem shamayim.
Right.
I mean, like, it's not the same, it's not as complex, but I'm just saying, like, when are we concerned about such things?
Alright, I mean, I think one could differentiate, but we're going to tangent, so I'm going to duck it for now. Okay, let us look at one more answer about this, and we're going to come back to this later this week. Is it really nicer or not? Let us look at the Rashba, and then we'll get to the main topic of the day. Yehuda, we're just sticking with you today.
Thank you, Rashba. Rashba?
Mm-hmm.
Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Asur La'adam Shekadesh Et Bito Kashi Ketana Ad Shetandil V'tomor Apuni. Did you want that? Last year. Did you want that? Did you want that? Tav L'meitav Tando L'meitav Amalo Yesh L'mar Davka B'gdola D'medolo Hipkida Lamar Hazaka Nihala Beholdu Avakatana Dilma Kashatitka Dil Lo Titvatse.
Okay, so Rashba, I mean, it's not exactly like us, but I think it's rather similar in the first answer because he isn't focused on the fact that she actively said yes, but Lo Hikbida Lomar. She was not makbe to say any objection. Like, basically, she's a full fledged adult who is part of the decision process here. So we'd assume it'll be okay. But the second answer, though, is more interesting. Or at least more different. Inami.
Inami. Ikim, Mimor. Dekatana chayshinan dilma mimalu.
Mimalu la mili iluya.
Yeah, where did you get this from?
Mimalu speak.
Yeah, Malel is like to speak.
Yeah.
You know what you might know this from? You're
from
yes, you're a Targum man or a Nefesh HaChayim man. When very good, you know that better. Right? When God is creates man in Tzemul Kim, what does it say in Targum Unklus very famously? Right, not some okay, what's the pasuk? And that he put inside him. Nishmat Chaim, right? Nishmat Chaim. Talking to Ruach Memala. Arguably, what does that mean? The defining characteristic of being a human being is the ability to speak. That's the word here. Very good. Memala to speak. Memala la mili aleva. They are giving. They're going to give her utter to her words.
Who's they?
I think other people, like, you know, troublemakers.
Her little friends.
Yeah. And therefore, umitok shadata kala titbata. Which isn't very interesting. It's very interesting because it's a different problem. Another problem with kids is unfortunately something they're more easily manipulated. So what does he want to say? Another reason why it's a problem for Katana to get married off is, I mean, the first reason, more like Tosfos. She was not involved in the decision. If she's not involved in the decision, there's more a possibility that she will object at a later date. The Rashba's second answer is not about her involvement in the decision. What's it about? What are we afraid of?
Yeah.
Someone says to her, oh, your husband, we saw he's really not such a good guy. She's only 10 years old. What do you want of her? So she believes right away. She's ready, like, the animosity starts. Right? Someone tells a lousy, negative story about her husband. Where if she's 15, she's a greater ability to understand that people tell rumors about everybody. So I just thought it was fascinating, a totally different answer. So again, we have, regarding the gdola, we're not afraid of we don't demand a woman see the husband. We assume she's okay with it. Also, regarding a katana, we're afraid she's going to go up to hate the guy. Rav even says, Asher l'adam shekadesh shebito. Chitana, how can you reconcile these two things? Two basic approaches. One approach is the gdol is involved in the decision. We only say tavlameta for a woman who's made a decision, and then we assume she'll make do with it. But if she didn't make a decision at all, we can't assume that so easily. So that's the distinction between gdol and katana. The second is, no, it's about the fact that you can manipulate a katana. That's what we're afraid of. But again, katana's get involved, it's a bad idea. But katana, katana, people tell them stories, it's just not a good idea. Better to wait till she's a gdola and she's less susceptible to this kind of rumor mongering. Okay? Lady, I see you figured out the pshat. Very good. How do you know the word? Mimalu?
Looked up from the dictionary.
Okay. It's a good way to know it. Okay. Let us get with the main sugya there. It's really a great sugya.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is, as a grammar, what's the first Rav doing in Mimalu? What is it like the...
It's Lumalel.
Yeah, so what's the first Rav doing?
It's a P.L.
Well, it's the first... that's P.L., right? Oh, yeah.
By the way, it's the same thing.
Me
and Malel, right? In Shemalos, right?
Oh, right, actually, right. Oh, yeah,
right. Me and Malel, Kvorot Hashem, the same word happens, yeah? Or it's me and Malel, Kvorot Hashem, who could utter, who could verbalize, right, the greatness of God. Okay, you guys know about that? That's the famous The Zionist heresy. Okay. I have to admit, it's a great song, and I can't sing it because of that, because it bothers me too much. You know, the second last one, they like, replace God with the Gvura of the historical Jewish people.
Oh, right.
So they took the pasuk, Mi Yimalo Gvurat Hashem, and then the song in Hanukkah is Mi Yimalo Gvurat Yisrael.
Yeah.
But you know that song, right?
Oh, wow.
You must know that song. You can go to Zionist camps in England. What's going on?
In England.
No,
I
can't believe it.
Oh,
you must have sang it in Camp Ramon, no?
I guess I'm just like,
I don't know what's Camp Ramon.
Oh.
It's all sang.
You didn't sing that either. You didn't sing that either. Okay.
Yeah, they changed.
I don't think we were such a great
Zionist. They changed Gurus Hashem to Gurus Yisrael. To
remove
God from the
country. Sorry, I have to admit, even though I actually really like that song, I can't say it. Okay. So let's go. So now, what do we see in our Gemara? We saw mitzvah bo yotem b'shulcha apply to the man, and mitzvah ba yotem b'shulcha apply to the woman. Now comes the million-dollar question, what mitzvah are we talking about? And it's a dual question. What mitzvah for the husband, and what mitzvah for the wife? And this has a lot of implications. One obvious, actually I already say an obvious kid thing. Let's hold off here. Okay, let us now go to the Ron in the back and see a very, very important focus. Let's go to the Ron. What mitzvah are you talking about? What mitzvah is he fulfilling? What mitzvah is she fulfilling? Okay, so we don't have to read the whole Ron. Let's start from Ted Zion the Bet. Page 32 of mine. I don't know what it is in your fancy edition. Actually, only...
There's a mark that says Ted Zion
the
Bet.
Oh, right. Nate's edition says everything. Nate doesn't need anything else in life. He just needs to lug that around. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay, so let's take it from... In mine, it's the third line on the bet. You guys have that? No, you have it in your... You also have the fancy edition, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever see it? You got it?
Yeah, did you see it?
Well, on the bet. I turn the page. Third line. The mitzvah ba yotem b'shulcha. Now, apparently the Ron is bothered. Notice he's starting with a woman. What mitzvah is the woman doing, and it's better for her to be personally involved in an act of mitzvah? We'll discuss this more as the week goes around. Right? Puru is a mitzvah only incumbent on men, not on women, so she's not obligated. Now clearly, there's something lurking in Iran here. Why did he not ask Akasha about the guy? Because what's his assumption? The guy's mitzvah is Puru. And therefore there's no question, why do we say mitzvah bo? Yotem b'shulcho for the husband, because he's Mekayim Peruvu. Now notice one thing though, he's not Mekayim Peruvu when he does the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin at that point would only be what's called a Hechsher Mitzvah. So now we get a crucial point. Do we say Mitzvah Bo Yotem b'shulcho only about the Mitzvah proper, or even about the Hechsher Mitzvah? Everyone get this point? Right, one thing that emerges in the Ron is you say Mitzvah Bo Yotem b'shulcho even if you're only talking about a Hechsher Mitzvah. I'll give you an example. Let us say I want to go buy Alula for Pesach, for Sukkot, not for Pesach. I want to buy Alula for Sukkot. So I say, Yehuda, you're going to the Shul, can you get one for me? Would Yehuda be able to say, Rabbi, I think you should go because mitzvah bo, yotem b'shulcho. I might say, no, but that's about the mitzvah itself. I don't know who gets the object. Who cares how that happens? But in the Ron, he's clearly applying it even to a Hechsher mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in Kiddushin for the Ron, the mitzvah is Puruvu. And therefore for the husband, there's mitzvah bo, yotem b'shulcho. The question remains for the wife, why is there mitzvah ba yotem b'shulcho, seeing as how she's not actually commanded in Peruvo? So what's his answer? Mikomakom yesh la mitzvah mipnei shehi misayat labal l'kai mitzvato. This is quite fascinating. So according to Ron, what happens when a woman's getting married? She is somehow the touch of mitzvah is upon her, but why? Notice it's almost like doubly removed. It's pretty remarkable. It's only a heksher for Peruvo and not even her Peruvo. But yet somehow that's an act that has religious value. Right? Doing acts that help somebody else fulfill mitzvos. Right? If you think about the Ron, he takes mitzvah b'ot yoshua as far as it could go. It's only hechsher mitzvah for him, and it's not even her mitzvah, and yet we still say it's better to be personally involved in these things. Even though she's not fulfilling anything, and she's only helping him to get on the road towards performing the mitzvah, we still say mitzvah ba yoter mi b'shulcha. Yeah,
but this is kind of a weird case, because it's not just that she's doing an assist here, she's the chefetz shel mitzvah, basically. I mean, like...
Okay.
Getting the etrog for you. It's like, she is the mitzvah.
Okay, so let's hold up on your story. You might be right, but I mean, you might say this is not like other hechsher mitzvahs. are not like other cases of see you or you want to quit.
Right.
That somehow she's more intimately involved, as it were, even if she has no formal obligation.
Right, she has not see you.
Okay, okay, so we're going to come back to this shortly. You haven't got that? Okay, now the question is this true? Now, again, I don't know if Levy agrees with me now. He didn't agree yesterday. Or on Thursday. I would argue that Ron is implicitly saying there's no mitzvah to get married. Do you agree with that reading? Because the only mitzvah he mentions is Peruvu, right? And then there's Akasha. How come he should have mitzvah bo, she should not have mitzvah bo, which he addresses. But again, the whole discussion is working with the mitzvah that's relevant to this topic is Peruvu. Are you convinced, Levy, or have not convinced you?
No.
Okay. Good. I don't need everyone to agree with me. Sure, it's fine with me. Okay, the way I would read Ron is the only relevant mitzvah is proven. The question is this true? Is there a mitzvah to get married? Now, Ben and Yehuda point out Chavruta. I mean, it's not so easy to find a pasuk for a mitzvah to get married. Right? There are two pasukim that describe marriage, but neither one is phrased as a tzivoy. Puruvu is easy, right? There's more than one place where the Torah seems to phrase puruvu in the command form. However, let us go to the Rambam, and I think the Rambam is absolutely clear. It's almost like I think the Rambam did this on purpose. Look at what two mitzvahs he put next to each other, so you don't get confused. Look what you have in Reish Yud-Bet. Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. He should sivanu l'frod v'rabo l'chaveim l'kiyum hamin. There it is, very important mitzvah. Propping in the world, what could be a more bigger mitzvah than that? V'zoti mitzvah peri yirivya v'vorme yitaleh p'ruvu p'rabiro sh'achatan yirukhai b'kriyachmak sh'yisa b'tulah. Notice again, what mitzvah is the chatan engaged in? Peruvu. There it is. Okay, we'll have to figure out why. We'll learn that more tomorrow and Tuesday. Women are not obligated to peruvu. That is one mitzvah, peruvu. Right? However, if we turn the page, what does the Rambam say the very next mitzvah? The mitzvah ha-reishu gimo. Heishi tzivanu liv ol b'kidushin. No, I think it's very difficult to say in the Rambam Kiddushin is just a Heksher Mitzvah for Peruvu. The Rambam does not count Heksher Mitzvahs in his Taryak. Mm-hmm. Right? So those days, there's a concrete mitzvah called Peruvu, there's a concrete mitzvah called Kiddushin. Now, according to the Rambam, notice we go back and contrast them with the Rambam. It could be everything changes. Let's go back and contrast Rambam with Ron. Mitzvah bo yitem b'shulcho. If I ask you which mitzvah, so what does the Ron say? Which mitzvah are you doing when you say mitzvah bo, yitem b'shulcho, and kiddushin daf nemalef? What would the Ron answer? What mitzvah are you doing when you get married, according to the Ron? Peruvu. What would the Rambam answer?
Getting
married. Yeah, it's not a heksher mitzvah. According to the Rambam, this is mitzvah bo, yitem b'shulcho, with the mitzvah itself. Not you don't think you meant, oh, you're enabling yourself to fulfill peruvu. This itself is an act of mitzvah. Okay, now comes the more interesting thing. What about when we go to mitzvah bo, yitem b'shulcho? Notice the Ron struggled even more there, because the Ron had to say, this is a Heksher Peruvu. She's not even Chayav Peruvu, but she is Misayeya the Baal. What might the Rambam be able to say for Mitzvah Baal Yitem
B'Shulcho? It's obvious.
Yeah?
The Baal is the same din.
Ah, very good. The Chilek Baal Peruvu, the Rambam did not apply. He doesn't discuss it, he doesn't say it. Right? Notice, what did he say at the end of the Peruvu discussion? Women are not obligated in Peruvu, but without any other evidence, you have a mitzvah to say Kiddushin. It's not his man Grama, he doesn't say anything. What should be the simple pshat for the Rambam? Who's Chayav in Kiddushin? Everybody, men and women. So notice, in some ways, it's stronger than Ron on two fronts. Mitzvah ba yitem b'shulcho, A, it's not a heksher mitzvah, it's a mitzvah proper. B, it's her mitzvah. You don't have to go as far as the Ron, it's even when she's Miseyeya. Forget all that, right? The Kohen Rambam is as straightforward as you could want. She is now fulfilling a mitzvah that's incumbent upon her. Kiddushin. Yeah, you know what's bothering you.
But this pasuk that he brings another is ki'ish, ki'ikak ish. You know, say that the focus is on the ish?
No, I think that ish
that's
does give...
The pasuk is ki'ikak ish.
I think ish is the one who's marrying the isha. Like,
right.
You'll never
right.
say the isha
correct.
Is marrying the ish.
Correct.
But even but
he's
the one who's
more active in the Maaseh Kiddushin.
She still has to have a will to get married. She can't. We can't force
yes,
marriage. Maybe
she's passive. So she just
says. It's not passive because she can't force
her.
She has to. She has to accept it.
Look. Your question gets back to the question like this, not simple, and see it all together. Meaning, I'll lump all your questions together, which is how do we get from that pasuk to the mitzvah as it is? But given the rules of mitzvot, it makes sense. Why should one be exempt? Meaning, it's not something. Well, let's I'll rephrase it for you, Yehuda. which mitzvah do women tend to be exempt from? Either a mitzvah man grama, or something that physically doesn't apply to her, like pad hazakan, or somewhere there's a drasha, like v'limadatem otam et b'neichem v'lo, but in, without all of the above, the fallback position should be, right, stam mitzvah, we see who applies to both men and women, right? But you have to, it has to fit into one of those categories for women to be excluded. Kiddushin doesn't mean any is carried. It physically applies to both, and it's not zman grama, and there's no special drasha, so why should women not be chayav? So I think Nate's absolutely right. So according to that, I think it's much easier in our Gemara. You don't have to make the Ron struggling. Oh, if she's Messiah the Baal to fulfill his Hech, it's only a Hech Shemitzvah of approval.
The,
yeah.
The Haru Tzionim on the side of the Ron, Dalad, says, Lorak Eshkachan Ikar Lesir Zo, B'shum Mekom
Lesirah. Yeah, fair. It's true. The Ron is a huge Kiddush here. Right, there's a halachic way to what's called being misayeya somebody else's mitzvah. And I guess I'd say it's even stronger. It's being misayeya somebody else's hechsher mitzvah. I think that is a difficulty in the Ran, or a big chiddush of the Ran.
Does an ani get a mitzvah for someone giving a tzedakah?
I'm not aware of any source that says that, but if you have one, I'd like to see it. Okay.
Well, according to the aniyim that you typically
right, they seem to, the assumption on the street seems to be that it is correct. Okay. Now, one test case, now we're up to some very interesting questions here. Is there a mitzvah of kiddushin? Now, one test might be, right, the bracha. We know there's a bracha called Birkat Erisin, right? We say it under the chuppah, right? Sure, asalam et aruso, v'hiklam et asua lano adei chupa v'kiddushin. Maybe this bracha could help be a barometer for us to tell what kind of, are we engaged in an act of mitzvah? That might also depend on what kind of bracha it is. Here, let's do a little bit of general Jewish knowledge. You guys probably know this already. Just bear with me for a second. Okay, there are basically three kinds of brachos in life, right? What are three kinds of brachos? There is Birkat HaMitzvot. What else?
Birkat
Shevach. And Birkat HaNe'anim.
No,
there's
also
Birkat
HaTorah as well.
Okay, I'm going to leave that out for now. Okay. Now, Birkat HaMitzvah, usually the way to tell Birkat HaMitzvah is it begins with the phrase, Asher Kitchenu Mitzvah V'Tzivanu. Okay, when does it tend to happen vis-a-vis the act, Birkat HaMitzvah? Right before, halachic term for that is called Over L'Asiyasan. Okay, so that's a Birkat HaMitzvah. Birkat HaNenin, as before you eat or smell something, right, also tends to take place before the act, but for a different reason. Why does Birkat HaNenin tend to take place before the act? What's the law of Bracha say? So notice what they write. Both Birkat HaMitzvah and Birkat HaNenin before the act, but not necessarily for the same reason. There could be distinctions there. Okay? Birkat Shevach tends to be you encounter the phenomena, and then you make the bracha. And we mean this? So now, in theory, we're going to see that life's a little bit more complicated, as is usually the case. In theory, we have a test case for evaluating what kind of bracha is Birkat Erisin. What might be the test? Do you make the bracha prior to Kiddushin, or after Kiddushin? If you make the bracha before Kiddushin, maybe that's suggestive that the bracha is a Birkat HaMitzvah, and then presumably the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Kiddushin. If you make the bracha after, maybe it's really more like a Birkat Shevach, and then it doesn't reveal at all that they're everyone see this? So maybe the bracha might help it be a clue, is Kiddushin a mitzvah or not? Now here, the Rambam seems to be great in terms of Rambam L'shitasa. I'll skip the rush for 1 second, which is the Rambam Raibi, then we'll sneak in the rush. Let's look at the Rambam here. It's just the Rambam, you couldn't get a more consistent Rambam. Kolamakadish Isha ben al-di atmo ben al-di shliach Sarech levarech kodem mikidushin. Hu oshlucho? The Acher Kach Mekadesh. There it is, the Rambam say. When do you make Birchas Erisin for the Rambam? When do you make it? Before. Mm-hmm. Why?
It's a mitzvah.
Because the Rambam is the one who holds the Kiddushin is a mitzvah. A, Kiddushin is a mitzvah. B, the Birchas Erisin is a Birchat a mitzvah. Now, if you weren't convinced by this, the Rambam is going to tell you black and white, so in case you missed the point. Kiderech Shemavarchim Kodem Kol HaMitzvos. Right? It's unambiguous. What is Birchas Erisin? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Of course it should precede the act of Kiddushin. Right? The mitzvah is Kiddushin. Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Obviously bracha and then mitzvah. What kind of kasha is that? The Im Kiddush, and the Rambam is very strong in this. Im Kiddush v'lo birech. What if you say, oh, we blew it. Right? Let's say you guys recite Kiddushin one day and you forget to make the bracha first. So he already gave her the ring. The chasen already gave her the ring. Lo yivarech achar Kiddushin. Shizu bracha levatala. Isn't that interesting? It's like you came to me and said, I took a lulav this morning on Sukkot and I forgot to make a bracha. It's 2 hours later. Should I make a bracha now? Say, I'm very sorry that you did the mitzvah. You're yotze. There's no point in the bracha now. The Ram says Berachas Erishin is the same thing. You didn't do it before, you didn't do the Berachas Mitzvah in the proper time, there's no bracha anymore.
Pretty harsh.
Right? There it is. Well, the Ram would say, hey, you fulfilled the Mitzvah.
Yeah.
You did the Mitzvah.
So harsh.
Yeah.
No, it's just
it's a strong position.
Right.
Okay, so we have three things to go together here, guys. A, there is a Mitzvah called Kiddushin. B, Birchas Erisin is a Birkat Mitzvah. C, so the only time to make such a bracha is prior to the Kiddushin. Okay, we're all good so far? Okay, let us see the Raivet. Now, you have to be careful, because the Raivet and the Rosh are going to argue the Rambam. It's not obvious to me they're arguing on the same grounds. Sometimes you have to differentiate and think more lumdishly. Let's see why the Raivet argues. Sarach Levarek Kodin Kiddushin, Ohu Oshulko Vachach Mekadesh. Amr Avram, Ein Anu Omim Ke. Here in southern France, we're not doing that. El Mekadesh V'Acher Kach Mevarech. We do the Kiddushin, then we do the Berchas Erisin. Now, why? Vatam. Now, you could have said it. If I had finished the sentence, I would have said, Ramam, it's a Birkat Shevach.
Mm-hmm.
Birkat Shevach tend to follow the endeavor. You encounter this phenomenon in life. What a great phenomenon. I want to give praise to God. I encounter the thunder and lightning, I give praise to God. I encounter Kiddushin. What does he say? V'hatam, mifnei shehadavar talui b'dat acherim. She'im timshach ha'isha v'lo tirtza l'kabel. I make the bracha, what if the woman says?
No way.
Actually, come to think of it, there are 10 better guys on this block. Right? Hariya bracha l'vatala. But notice that in the right here. It's not clear to me, tell me if you disagree, guys. The Raivit is
the Mitzvah.
Exactly. It's not clear to the Raivit is saying, no, I'm shifting this to Birkat Shevach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, sometimes, even if it's Birkat Mitzvah, technicalities, technical requirements forced me to move the bracha at the Mitzvah. You might say, Rabbi, we never saw such a thing. It's not true. We did see such a thing. What is one example of a Mitzvah where we make the bracha after the Mitzvah? There are a couple of famous exceptions to the rule of Over Lasiasa. What are the exceptions? But Kiel Sadaim is an exception, arguably. Now, I realize you could say, correct, you could say the Niguv is part of the Mitzvah, but you could say that halachic requirements force us to go against the normal rule.
The Chiyuv of the Bracha is stronger than the Chiyuv of the Overlay.
Okay, good. Well, that's a nice formulation. Right, Tvila might be another example, right, when a Ger is Tovil. Mm-hmm. Right, it could be that he has no ability to make the Bracha before the act, so we move it. So what do you see? That even though Overlay is an important principle, sometimes other halachic considerations can override, as you say, over Lasiasa. But I think you guys said it very nicely. The Raivid might not be denying the Rambam's first couple of steps. Kiddushin is a mitzvah, and the bracha Birkas Eris is, in fact, a Birkas HaMitzvah. What would the Raivid say? Even if I grant you those two steps, the third step doesn't follow. What was the Rambam's third step? The only time to make such a bracha is before and because of the over Lasiasa principle. Says the Rambam, no, other halakha considerations might force me to move the bracha till after the act of Kiddushin. We're afraid of Brachla Vatala. I'm not in full control because there's another player in this endeavor. That's a special reason why the Bracha gets moved to after the Mitzvah. Okay, we're all good with that?
Yeah.
Good, Nick.
Right, I mean his question is pretty good. Like, this is the Erushin. This is only the first stop. She hasn't even... if she's accepted the engagement, then there's no reason for the Bracha, even according to the Rambam. So the guy is...
Wait, we have one thing. We have to watch one thing. Guys, you have to make a terminology decision right now. Here's the terminology question. Because I always get nervous about this. When you use the word engagement, it creates halakhic confusion for the following reason. Because
right.
What we call engagement today has no halakhic weight whatsoever. Okay, so which way are you using the word in that sense?
In the normative halakhic sense, not in our current sense.
Just to say it again?
Even according to the Rambam, right, there is no halakhic engagement.
Yes.
Right. So at that point, she could say, like, his bracha according to the Rambam is just like, you know, him getting down on one knee and asking. She could say no. So then it's a bracha levatala.
Right.
It's a decent kasha.
Okay,
Unless, of course, the Rambam is suggesting
this might be I have like a Baal Batish answer, even though I'm more partial to Lumdish answers, and I'm gonna give the Baal Batish answer anyway. Terrible. I think the Rambam could give very Baal Batish chance. I mean, if they're ready up to the wedding, presumably they discussed it beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't
right.
Just, I've known her for years. Let's see, I'll get a shot.
Okay.
Right? Then I admit, in that case, then the Bracha Levatala of the Raivit is a real issue. Right?
Okay.
But the average wedding is a planned affair, right? So, it's not
so
like
we're,
you'll, proposed her at the baseball game in front of 450,000 people, right?
But is Chazal, figuring that like he's gonna make a bracha and then ask her to like, is that is he potentially going up to a girl saying, do you want to marry me, making a bracha, and she's saying, well, no, not really. And
look, maybe you want to subshine the Raavad that way. The Raavad might agree that in the average scenario, we wouldn't really be nervous of bracha batala, but since there are cases where it could be an issue, so to cover those cases, we always move the bracha. Does anyone argue?
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be interesting. Then think about why the Raavad is not afraid of it. I have to think about that a little bit. But I do think for the average case, the Raavad is Baal Bat Hashem, so would...
Well, probably.
The Gemara is basically assuming that we have a pretty good chance that they've never seen each other before. I mean,
Now, you guys might be right. You're saying, given the fact that we're used to the fact you date for a while first, but you're saying the Raavad is concerned to be a more real concern.
You're traveling to Pombedita to see the girl for the very first time in Makadosh, and...
Fair enough. All right, I'll have to think about that. Think about that, how else the Raavad would answer the Raavad's kasha. Okay. We have time for the rush? Yeah, let's just sneak in the rush, because the rush is the other side of the equation here. Here we go. Yesha Kashu, which is the very, very famous rush. You guys should all go to speak to your Rabbein, and then you know this rush. We'll be very happy. Yesha Kashu, which is the Tzarech Levach Bechus Eishin Kon Kedushin. The Rambam, Gedamar. And there's a great answer, a great argument. Why? Kala Brachot Kulon Mavarkle Novel Asiyat. That's the rule. Again, but assuming it's a Bechus HaMitzvah. You make it before it. The Yeshu Shekasu, which is the Tzarech Lasot Achar Eishin. Now, again, let's read very carefully. What's the reason at this point? Dilma Hajabaha Isha, Bavla Bracha Batala. Now, at that point, it's just like the Raavad. The problem is not necessarily that it's not a Birkat HaMitzvah, it's that there's other halachic considerations. Chashash Bracha Batala. Maybe that should be reason to move the Bracha following the Kiddushin. V'od, Shekol HaMitzvah Lefisha Maskirin Asiyat HaMitzvah, Mevarchin Aleh Over Lasiyatan. Havol Kan Ein Mevarchin Asher Kechanu Lekadesh HaIsha. Now, here comes a very interesting point. Is that just a technical language point, or does that reveal something deeper? Right? The Rashi says, hey, look at this bracha. It's not exactly Asher Kitcheru Mustavit Sivanu L'Kadesh HaIsha or L'Hitchatein B'Kiddushin. Right? It's not the Nusach. Now, I'm going to argue in the Rashi, it's not just technically it's a different Nusach, therefore the Avodah Zarah then falls away. It's that the different Nusach reveals something about the bracha. Let's keep reading. My Mavarchin. What's the real text? Asher kitshanu mitzvotav etzibon arayot ba'aslam et arusod v'itlan etzul la edichu pavi kiddushin b'erich v'desh yisrael. Now, right away, you should all notice, by the way, it's kind of a more complex bracha than it needed to be. Right? We throw in a bunch of themes there. Very interesting. Like, what are all these themes doing there? Arayos, aruso, nesuot, chupa v'kiddushin. V'nogu ha'id namekadish yisrael edichu pavi kiddushin. Right? That's our minhag. Yesh makshina nusach bracha zu. Lama ein mevarchin asher kitshanu mitzvotav etzibon l'kadesh v'desh yisrael. Like, that wonderful nusach. Where did that nusach go? Why do you have this much more complex and multifaceted nusach? Don't forget, through the earlier part of Jewish history, Erusin took place months before Nisui. You guys with me at this point? Yeah. So we mentioned chuppah, like chuppah is not even in the ballpark. They haven't built the chuppah yet. What's going on here with the chuppah? The nearly here it is. Ki bracha zu eina bracha lasiyat ha-mitzvah. Explicit. What does the Rush say? The real point is not that there's a technicality that there might be a bracha batala. The real point is, Birchas Eirusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Now, why is that? Ki piriya v'riv yahainu kiyam HaMitzvah. No, we're back in Ron territory. What does the Rush hold? Why is it not a Birchas HaMitzvah?
It's not a mitzvah.
Because it's not a mitzvah, right? There's no mitzvah. There's no Birchas HaMitzvah. Because all mitzvahs piriya v'riv. Vim lakach pilegesh v'kiyam piriya v'riv yahainu mechuyim v'kadish isha. Not only is that, there's a way to circumvent. You might say, what do you mean, Kiddushin is crucial? It's the only way to get to Peruvu. So the Rush, not necessarily. I can fulfill Peruvu. I'll take up a Pelegesh. I have kids. I can fulfill Peruvu. V'chein, Hanosis, Kena, Islandis, O Akara, V'chein, Saris, Chamish, Nasim, Rechim, Bechus, Sain. It's a very good point. Plenty of very nice weddings. You know they're not going to have offspring. And yet, you make this buck. But how could that be? There's no Peruvu. V'ein, let's place. Okay, now we get to this next time. I don't get to the Shechita parallel. So now he's going to raise an interesting parallel to Shechita, which doesn't work. But why it doesn't work, the parallel. Let me just sum up where we are. Okay, what do we have here? We have a very important machlokas. One is the machlokas. Is there a mitzvah to get married? Rambam says yes. Ron and Rush say no. What nafkamina might be? How do you view the Birkat Erusin? The Rambam is very explicit. Erusin. There is a mitzvah to get married. Birkat Erusin is a Birkat HaMitzvah. And the Rambam makes one further step Therefore, the only time to make the Birkat Eirusin is before the act of Kiddushin. Now I have two chipping away at that, but in totally different perspectives. The Ravid, in theory, agrees with everything all the above. The Ravid says, it is a mitzvah to get married, and I even think Birkat Eirusin is a Birkat mitzvah. But there are other considerations. Brachah levatala, just like with Tfilas Ger, just like with the Tfilas Yadayim. The Rosh argues on much more fundamental grounds. It says Birkat Eirusin can't be a Birkat mitzvah because there is no mitzvah to get married. The only mitzvah is Purva. We're back like the Ron. What is it? So we'll see in a second. I think you have to say it's a Birkat Shevach. And then its real place should be following the Kiddushin. All right, well, we'll pick this up the next 2 days. Very good, guys. It's good to be back running with you guys.
Good to be